Ah, wonderful of you to drop by. We're now 3 episodes into Heaven's Flame, and we hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. Quick reminder, if you like the show and would like to support us, you can check out our Patreon. Supporters at the $5 tier and above gain instant access to 2 exclusive side stories, Forget Me Not, which aired last summer, and From the Dust, run by Matt, which is airing right now alongside Heaven's Flame. We're 4 episodes into From the Dust so far and still have a couple episodes to go. I'd like to give a special shout-out to our patrons. Going to keep it to first names or usernames for the sake of not doxing people. Thank you very much to Brandon, Max, Polly, Drowrin, Sebastian, Randy, Jonah, Micah, Chris, and Jeremy. Thank you, each of you, for your continued support. Your contributions are enormously helpful and bewildering, frankly. I happen to know a few of our supporters run Delta Green games of their own, so I'll drop links to those in the show notes. Okay, before I run out of breath, let's get you to the main course. Here is Heaven's Flame, Episode 3, Outer Ones.
Delightful to see you this morning, Geoffrey. What's the weather like outside?
Good morning to you, Sir Winston. It's not quite the balmy weather you predicted. A spot of sunshine. You ought to draw the curtains, freshen things up a bit in here.
I shan't be bothered. I like my study drab and dreary. It suits the tone of the business that we must attend to.
Shall we get down to business, then?
You're too eager, my boy. Perhaps some tea before we start.
Thank you. Milk. 1 sugar.
There we are. Just got back from Glasgow.
This morning, sir.
Nasty business out there. Tell me, what's the island?
Torsa, sir.
Right. Of course. The ostentatiousness of this entire affair, it's a habit of the Americans that's... It's always rubbed me the wrong way. So much noise.
Sir, 2 years ago, we had our people on the island during the remodelling phase. Security's good, but it's nothing like what we employ at Kilmar.
Indubitably. Who do we have there now?
Well, Section's made the call to back down. We've obtained the guest list. Containment is the play.
What sort of trouble have the Yanks invited into their illicit arms deal?
I've prepared a full briefing memo for you, sir. Top of the list is the Lord of Time. Top bitch of the fate.
Really? That's very troubling indeed. I don't think this is about weapons, Geoffrey. Or state secrets. If she is there, then what's on offer is something in the area of the occult. Or at least occult in nature. Section knows this, yet they chose to back off.
We've tried to kill her on more occasions than I can recall. She knows we're coming, sir. I've seen the bodies of the SAS who were unsuccessful in their attempts.
I know, I've reviewed the damage myself. I suspect that she's summoning something that's outside of our timeline. Perhaps the Hound.
The Hound, sir?
It's none of your concern. Perhaps for the best, as that Section wants us away from this disaster in the making. Tell me, your agents are prepared for a full containment of the island?
That's the plan, sir.
Well, we'll let the Americans deal with her then.
I actually instructed them to handle it, sir, in exchange for aerial intelligence and a supply drop.
Really? They wanted supplies from us?
Nothing much, just trivial things. But it did give me an opportunity for a quid pro quo.
And who did they send in?
CIA. One handler I'm familiar with from previous operations. David Corbin. He specialises in human intelligence, counterintelligence, recruitment of assets. He's not the sort that typically gets his hands dirty. He appears to be running Yandakar Special Activities Division. He's a veteran of the Afghan Civil War, KDPI insurgency in Iran, Somali Civil War, Bosnia, probably others. He's not typically a solo operator, but we noted other former special forces on the guest list. So likely, Corbin isn't revealing his whole hand to us.
Do tell me, is it all?
No, there's one other fellow that we don't have any intelligence on.
Really? That's not like you, Geoffrey.
Here's a photo, sir. Do you know anything about this man?
I'm afraid I've never seen this man before. Who is he?
I have several of my best working on it right now. It was a private charter flight. Corbin was able to pass through customs with a forged diplomatic passport that has never been used before. So simply, we have no records at all to rely upon for who this mystery man is.
You're telling me he's not CIA?
I don't believe so, sir.
Then why is the CIA bringing this unknown asset into an occult auction of this magnitude? What are they up to, Geoffrey?
I'm sorry, sir. I was hoping you'd know more.
Oh, I intend to. I need to speak to some of the other directors. Do keep me informed. I got the message. I remember what you said. Heaven is nothing if you don't make the best of the rest. Oh yeah, the times define the lines I can never go across. I lost the toss, but I will never show the pain. Contain, sustain, I have everything to gain.
So as Crawford finishes his strange ritual or preaching, the sky is somewhat cloudless, the stars shine bright. There's this dead tree that kind of stands over the cabin where you're at, and it's surrounded by hills, stones and rocks. And silence just falls over the surroundings.
Did anything happen? It doesn't look like... Your friends are showing up.
Yeah, doesn't really look like they want to talk. I kind of look at all the preparations I made, make sure I didn't screw anything up. I kind of look at the sky like, that usually works.
I'm not sure if I'm happy or concerned.
I mean, I'm a little concerned, but...
What is everyone's alertness?
50.
80.
Mine is 60.
So I'll say only Jan sees this. As you kind of talk to Crawford and you look around, you swear, it's very quick. You quickly look up at the night sky, and you swear that, like, three shining points in the sky, stars, have moved.
Huh. Yeah, it's interesting. Keep an eye on that, and maybe I'll take about a step away from where this is all going on.
You see, like, a very small flash of motion, like a falling star, essentially. But it kind of jitters left and right. It's not quite like a straight line, and you begin to see them seep down from the sky, and seem to basically just fall in a straight line down.
Yeah, I'll take a quiet another step back, reach my hand back to my lower back where my sidearm is concealed, kind of put a hand on my sidearm, and wait.
David, noticing that, is going to kind of look around. Does he see this too?
It takes a bit of time to kind of notice, but yes. If you look in the general direction where Jan was looking, yep. You definitely see three moving points of light.
Okay. Yeah. So I think a smile spreads across his face and he takes sort of a relaxed pose and folds his arms in front of him and just watches.
Okay. I think for Crawford, you, whether you see them or not is irrelevant. You did everything right. Now it's just a matter of waiting.
Would I notice Jan reaching for his sidearm?
I just put my hand behind my back and the small of my back. That's all I'm doing.
I probably, you know, gesture. You don't have anything to worry about, Jan. Relax.
10-4.
Yeah, just don't look him in the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm still on high alert. Just make sure I got some cover nearby in case I need to jump behind something. And just kind of stay out of the focus of whatever's going on here.
Mm-hmm. After maybe a minute or two, the points, they were still very much far away, and they were going down in a straight line. But the points begin to grow brighter and brighter, so seemingly getting closer. One in particular goes very, very close to the horizon and quickly approaches. Until eventually you see that what looked like stars are now actual colors. And you see motion, movement, and pulsing from these things that have seeped down from the sky. And eventually, you see what seems to be living beings, seemingly floating as if pushed by invisible currents. Two of them staying adrift high up in the sky, and one kind of letting itself flow down closer to you.
Mm.
They look like very spongy coral, or maybe metal, or maybe rock, or maybe like a crustacean. But all fluid. There's no solidity to them. They're kind of flowing and moving and twisting. At first, you think you have an understanding of what they look like and what their biology is, and then you don't. Then it's completely different. It seems like they have fluorescent fungus on top of them as well. It is utterly baffling. And the one that comes closer, you see that it roils in an ever-shifting form that is hard to look at, and a very uncomfortable buzzing noise that seemingly comes from around it and around kind of all the house. Begins to approach. I'd like for everyone to make a sand roll.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure thing.
Just a 24 success.
24 success, okay. You lose one sand from the unnatural.
Yeah.
74 fail.
77.
That's a fumble? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Roll 1d6.
All right. 5. Oh, God.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
You lose that amount in willpower as well.
I'm going to project.
Yep.
I'm going to project onto my only bond, General Wallace O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I will roll a d4. That's a 2. Now, do I just lose 3 willpower or do I lose all 5?
All 5.
5 willpower and 3 sand with a projection?
Yep.
So I failed also, Matt, but I just want to say hi, Bob.
Okay, yeah, you see it kind of getting closer. You say it to it, hi, Bob. Roll 1d6.
2.
You lose 2 sand from the unnatural. You know them. You especially know the one that has approached. But it never, that's never something you can get used to. To your eyes, they are divine. The very shape they have transcends anything else. So you see this thing approach, and it remains maybe 20 feet away as it kind of moves and coils and floats in the air. And again, this buzzing noise is quite loud. And it just stands there. Hard to see that it has a face or even eyes, but it seems to just wait.
I was going to say, I think David would try to be looking for where the eyes are to avoid eye contact.
Yeah.
And if he's not seeing anything that's like definitively eyes, I think he'll sort of be like stealing glances here and there, but generally trying to keep his eyes off of the thing directly.
And the other two are still in the sky, right?
They're hundreds of feet in the sky, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of dividing my attention between those two up there and then the one before us, just to make sure that those don't sneak behind us or ambush us or, you know, flank us or something.
And as I've done forever, I'm just full on staring at him, don't care. Like, this is relatively normal to me, as normal as this can ever be. I projected onto my best friend the... What is a fire chief's lieutenant called? Is he just a lieutenant?
Deputy?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Onto him. He's from my hometown.
Yep.
Can I talk to Bob now? Attempt to talk to Bob?
You certainly can. It seems to be waiting.
Hey, so, Bob, these kind gentlemen have invited me out to a party on an island that I thought you might have interest in. There's supposed to be an item we need to retrieve, but sounds like your kind of people are going to be there, and for that matter, your kind of items. The island's Torsa. It's just north of us in the sea.
As you talk to it, it stands there and it seems to kind of react in a weird pattern of color. The buzzing kind of shifts in tone and it begins to kind of pitch like up and down, trying to find the right frequency, almost like tuning a radio. And eventually it imitates your voice back in a facsimile of how you talk that is bone chilling. It's completely off of how a human voice should sound like, but it's trying. And it replies in multiple words at the same time. That makes it very confusing to understand.
What?
You catch a couple of words, you catch what?
What?
Query, unclear.
Unclear.
You catch when, was, what? Now.
No.
And
what?
Item.
So, I would say the answer to when is 2 days, right? Just making sure I give it the right information.
Yep.
Okay, so I would tell it 2 days. I called you for information exchange and protection, and you would have to speak to this one about the item, and I would point at David.
You see it gets closer.
David's posture looks like it did before. He still has a relaxed pose and his arms folded, but his face has gone completely white.
You see some kind of strange amniotic sac open, spilling weird fluid on the floor that sizzles and then disappears. And out of it, an arm or some kind of claw, it's hard to say, grabs something out of it, like a tool, and it begins prodding you with it. You're not even sure what it's for, but it pushes pretty hard. It's not painful, but it's intrusive.
He says, can I help you? What are you doing? And he looks over at Crawford. Is this normal?
Never seen that before, no.
That doesn't bode well.
I look back at Bob and be like, we don't have any items yet, but I know you can go and investigate on your own way faster than I can.
It replies, sign, referent, accepted, understood.
Understood.
What? So real quick, out of character, what kind of things are we... What's the plan for them? What are we trying to get them to do?
Yeah.
To scope out the island?
So...
Maybe let's talk about that.
Crawford's thinking backup. Because they've always helped him, right? So this is... It's like calling in backup that he can't control it. He knows he can't control it.
Oh, boy.
But he would rather them be aware that he's going into some shit. Because of his perception, they don't know everything. I don't know if they do or not. But he's just letting them know that he's going somewhere crazy. And he fully 100% expects them to take care of him like they have up until now.
Okay. So David will ask it, does it stop prodding him?
If you talk to it, yes.
Okay, yeah. So he'll say, are you able to do any kind of reconnaissance or bring us back any information about the island and who's on it?
It replies in French, using the imperfect tense. It seems like it has a lot of trouble, or it does not understand. It's trying to communicate, but it's not easy. You don't honestly know if it understood what you just said to it, and if what they replied to you even makes any sense.
I'll look back at Crawford, and then also Jan. Does Jan speak French?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
It replies, apologies. Configuration
wrong.
Okay, no worries. Can you bring us any information about the people on the island?
You see it kind of moves and is thinking, and it kind of roils where you kind of, it's like more than three-dimensional. There's something that kind of gives you a headache looking at it. And it replies again in this horrible buzzing.
Group.
Large. Secrets. Below.
Okay. All right. That's useful. That's good to know. Thank you. I think I just have one other question, at least for now. Do you know anything about some kind of accord?
Refusal. No.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, I guess. And then he'll look back at Crawford.
Kind of give you a good job look. And Bob, do you want anything from the island? Is there anything I can retrieve for you?
Refusal. No.
Observation.
Improvisation.
Acceptation.
How?
Fire.
Accepted.
Okay.
Fire?
They've always liked fire before.
Oh. Okay.
Solution.
Problem.
In between.
And David looks at Crawford and then looks back at Bob and just kind of confusedly nods and goes, fire.
You see, just kind of whirls and moves.
And then he looks back at Michael Crawford like, is that right? Did I do it right?
Make it in a natural role.
Okay.
Go for it.
And anyone who wants to, if you have some unnatural.
I got a lot.
Yeah, you do. You have like 40, Wes?
40.
Oh, wait. Oh, 5.
You got 5?
Oh, there you go.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
I rolled a 97.
Oh, at least it wasn't a 99.
You think for a second, David, and you actually understand this question. It's maybe the first, maybe you've understood some amounts of what it's trying to communicate, but it said solution, problem, in between, how.
Yep.
In its mind, it sees a problem and it solves it. There's nothing else. It's purely logical. So it's asking you, how do you do the other stuff? Instinct, reaction, creativity, improvisation.
The human stuff. It's asking us, it's wanting to understand more about humanity.
Looks like it, yeah.
Huh.
Tell it to watch.
Yeah, he'll say, if you're wondering about us, I don't know that anybody can answer. It's a mystery, even to ourselves. The in-between.
It moves and kind of recoils back, and something in its body kind of changes, and an arm or an appendage pulls out something that was like inside its body, some kind of weird blocky stone with transparent glass, and inside is a pulsating human brain.
Oh.
And it just kind of shows it closer and says, non-conclusive. How?
Can I take it from him, or attempt to take it from him?
You take it?
Yeah, I want to take it.
this kind of squirming appendage or tentacle or rock. Let's go. Very gentle. And you just have this tank with a floating human brain and brine in your hands. It's quite heavy.
That's not good.
Oh, man. Is it connected to anything?
Nope.
Okay.
No speaker on it with three little nodules or something like that?
It looks like rock, but it's warm to the touch as well, or maybe it's metal. It's very strange material.
I set it down on, like, the table or whatever's...
There's rocks around.
Right, so I just set it down for a second and get into my pocket and pull out my statue hunk of metal, depends on how you look at it. Is it the same substance? This box made out of the same thing as my rock?
It certainly looks that way, yes.
Okay. So I will smile, I will put my rock back in my pocket, and I will... Let me think for a second.
While you're doing that, to respond to Bob, I think David would say, if you're trying to answer some of life's great mysteries, I think the first place you may want to start is, I don't know, studying philosophy. People who do that seem to think they have answers.
It replies in an aggressive buzz that almost makes the ground kind of shake. Irrelevant. Not happy about the answer.
Oh, okay. Well, I...
David.
I'm sorry.
It's, say thank you to the Starman.
Thank you, Starman. I'm gonna back up.
You see, it's kind of appendages are starting to grab things on the ground, maybe a small rock, and it's just kind of putting them in its body, or maybe it has, like, seals or valves or pockets. You're not honestly sure what's a tool and what is its own body. And it's grabbing things and taking them.
Yeah, but it's leaving the brain jar behind?
Eventually you kind of see like a longer antenna of some kind of slither its way on the ground towards the brain jar and kind of starts coiling around it.
I'll be like, no, Bob, let me have it. I'll give it answers.
Crawford, what are you doing?
Hold on, I think this will help.
You kind of blink, and you see that the jar is just not there anymore.
Mm.
And so is Bob.
Bob's gone too?
Oh shit, he's just gone.
Jan, you were keeping an eye on the sky and around.
Yeah.
You see that it's above the house. It just warped there.
Oh shit, okay.
And it's kind of like floating on top of it and kind of grabbing tiles of the roof and kind of examining the chimney and just grabbing shit.
Everyone stay cool.
As though I'm used to it grabbing shit, like it's always, like that's what it does, right? It comes and collects...
Sometimes.
Information and things, yeah.
It's hard to predict how it's going to behave because it's just completely other in its behavior. You don't honestly know what it wants now and what it does. Yep.
Well, apparently I was wrong about that.
Let's wait for the nice Starman to go about his business.
Yeah, I think David's just quiet.
Yeah, just waiting for it to go away.
You see the 2 points of light in this... Well, the 2 points of light, the other strange beings, are starting to go down as well.
Oh, shit.
And they get quite close, and they're different in how they look from each other. And they buzz in other pitches, and it seems like they have this weird communication in this buzzing that you do not understand. And eventually it goes to kind of grab like your arm or your hand or something.
Who's?
Everyone.
Yeah, I pull away.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. It doesn't like do it strongly. It kind of lets go in a weird kind of recoiling, pulsating manner that is very uncomfortable. And you see it very quickly just kind of takes, either like tears out an air out of your arm or like a hair out of your head, and just kind of puts it in itself.
Oh my god.
And as this happens, they remain there a bit longer, and they begin to very slowly just kind of almost swirl, but up, as if gravity is a suggestion and not a physical law. They begin making their ascent up in the night sky, and the buzzing eventually becomes dimmer and dimmer.
When they disappear, I think David, like, very casually and confidently goes and, like, walks behind one of the trees and just throws up.
I would just turn around and kind of smile at y'all and be like, hey, they know you now.
Crawford, what the fuck did you just accomplish by this summoning of these star people? What just happened?
Oh, I have no idea. It's just always worked out in the past.
What worked out in the past? This is part where we tell them what our mission is, and then you give over our item to the star people that you worship?
You said make it go away.
Make what go away?
The item needs to leave this existence, right? Like, that's our orders. Make it go away. Can you think of a better way to make it go away?
Fire.
Fire, I think, was a proposal.
How about we try fire?
And Crawford snaps, and in between his forefinger and thumb, little fire, like he lit a Zippo, except it's way more on the purple hue than the like traditional fire. Looks very similar to what you saw when I was setting up the ritual.
Interesting.
It's a grotesque, in between your fingers as well as you snap, it's like a grotesque fire. Like, it looks greasy, even if it's fire. Like, it kind of leeches over and everything. It looks odd.
Oh, all weird. Right,
Crawford, the parlor tricks is something else. But listen, we don't need their alien friends to burn whatever this item is, if that's what we're going to do. And what do they give us?
Well, in that particular instance, I don't feel like they gave us very much. But they're watching now.
They took more than they gave.
Yeah.
What was that brain about?
I'm sure they just collected that from somebody.
Oh my god.
Like, they're collecting everything else they're finding. It probably doesn't mean anything to these people. A brain or a leaf, same difference to these things.
I don't want to end up in a brain box, okay?
I've never seen the brain box before. I think they wanted it to learn, and it wasn't capable. That's why they took it aback.
Because it's a detached brain. Yeah, that's probably not a learnable. What are we doing here?
Just talking to some friends.
I don't feel like that was a really friendly conversation.
If it wasn't, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I don't know. I got more questions than answers right now.
I think that was the first time David has ever seen anything like that.
Yep.
Like Alien, specifically. I know we already rolled San, but I kind of feel like I should roll San again.
Sure. Yep, go for it.
Yeah, I guess I'll let you decide what happens there, but it's a fail. 67.
Roll 1d4.
This might tip my breaking point. Is that 2? No, I did not hit my breaking point. I'm 1 point away.
Let me ask you this, Crawford. Let's just say that you is a problem. Like you need their help. Can you even communicate to them a question that they can answer that can help us? I don't speak star alien or whatever it is they're speaking.
Oh, I know a guy in Tibet that can speak that language.
Oh, come on, man.
Nobody speaks whatever they're speaking that's human. They seem to understand intent, though.
Okay, and what's our intent here?
Yeah, what is the goal?
The mission y'all got me out to do is to get that item out of the island.
No, I mean the goal for them helping us. What was your plan here?
Protection and power? We're going on an island with somebody who calls himself the Lord of Time. I don't think the three of us and however many guns Jan has is going to be quite enough.
I'd like to avoid conflict if possible. We don't have to be shooting everybody on this island. We just have to get that item in as peaceful way as possible. That's an option. That's on the table.
This is not a rhetorical question, Michael. Do you believe, from what we just experienced, that they will provide any kind of protection or assistance or anything on our mission.
Yeah. And it'll be way faster than if I had to make contact with them then.
And just to, I guess, check, David's like looking at him and reading his expressions. Does he feel like Crawford believes that genuinely?
That's a Matt question. As far as I'm aware, Crawford believes that. Like, he literally looks up at the sky. Like, in his understanding, they're closer now. Like, probably justifies it out like their ship is in orbit versus it's somewhere off in the galaxy or whatever, right? Because to Crawford, these are fucking aliens. Straight up.
Yep.
100%.
Oh, they are, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interactions with them is usually how this is. That's how it goes.
Okay.
It's like a confrontation of you don't understand what it wants and what it says, and it also doesn't seem... You don't even know if understanding is something that they obtain through their own... You just don't understand how these things work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But remember... Well,
that's useful.
It's always worked for me.
Okay.
The luck thing is stupid real, and he attributes it all to the relationship with them, right? It's just been proven so many times, and there was some motivation here just to prove that he wasn't crazy, right? He'll have been rather dismissive of the relationship with the aliens, just like everybody is, until they see him.
Yep. Oh, they were here, all right.
Yeah, I don't feel any better.
David is wondering briefly if Crawford somehow dosed him with LSD that we got from the MI6 agent.
I mean, you can check. There's probably, I used a couple for that. So there's some doses missing, but.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything about that. He's just wondering.
Mm-hmm. I'm going inside.
We should all go inside.
Why don't we go inside, David, and Crawford can do his religious thing here.
No, we should all go inside.
Maybe the two of us should go inside first.
He looks at you, at Jan, kind of with like quizzically.
Yeah, you need to wash up. You really need you're right here, on the side of your lip.
He just like he kind of looks back to Crawford, and he's like. Like, so in his mind, he's weighing, like, I don't want this guy out of my sight. I don't want this guy out of our sight, right? This dude is immediately much more of a threat than Corbin was thinking he was. That's kind of where he's coming from. I know what you're getting at, but that's sort of what he's thinking. But eventually he just sort of like rolls his eyes and then walks inside.
Yeah. I'll go inside with Corbin.
And he'll go to the sink and like wash his face.
Yeah.
Wash the vomit off his face.
Yeah, so I'll go sit on the counter next to the sink while you're washing. The general asked us to bring this guy along, right?
Yep.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you and me both, bud.
This is the biggest of wild cards I've ever dealt with on any mission. I don't like unpredictable factors. We can't control this. I think he serves those aliens. Like he does what they want him to do, which is probably contrary to whatever our mission objective is.
I don't know that contrary is the right word.
It might be. What if they give him a different order? They give him a different order. He's going to follow their order.
It seems like their intention is much more perpendicular. It's a different thing altogether. They don't seem to operate on the same wavelength, if you know what I mean.
They're either logical or illogical, but can you predict them? I can't predict this.
No, but we have a wild card. Let's get our asses on the island and use it. Let's play it.
I'll just put it this way. If Crawford has the item in his hands, I do not know what's going to happen next with this item.
What does it matter?
It may be contrary to our mission objective.
Our mission objective is to make sure that it doesn't get into the hands of anybody who's trying to buy it.
What if aliens work with one of the other buyers? There's another alien cult here.
What if we were told this cookbook came from some kind of accord with aliens? Maybe it's these aliens. In that case, why would they want it It's their knowledge.
What if they want someone else to have it?
Yeah, and Corbin thinks about that.
We don't know who's a... There could be other alien worshippers at this conference. Other cultists at this conference.
Yeah.
Crawford could just betray us to some other third party.
Well, then we destroy it ourselves, or we make him destroy it.
He's working with us. Obviously, we can't change that, but
we can. Don't worry. We can change that.
I don't know if we can change that. Just to be upfront with you, I don't know if I can change that. We've tried before.
David looks pretty confident.
He's a lucky son of a bitch.
Luck runs out sooner or later. Trust me.
Star Child luck. I don't know how it works, but I just... David, one of the two of us have got to be the one with the item. That's all I'm saying. End of the day,
sure.
To control all the variables better, it's going to be one of us.
I agree.
All right, so we're on the same page with this.
Yeah.
All right, good. 10-4.
Let's get our shit and head to the island.
Yeah.
As you say, grab your shit and head to the island. Do you leave pretty much now, or do you sleep before and leave tomorrow morning?
I think tomorrow makes more sense. I think we gotta let some steam off, unwind,
mm-hmm. and clean up.
Yeah,
and I think David wants to try to clean up the ritual site.
Yep,
it's already cleaned up.
You like removed the carved sigils from the trees and stuff.
Yeah, you can't tell anything was there. I'm just sitting in the middle of the patio, cross-legged, staring at the sky. When do you come out?
He looks like a farmer who's done like a day's work and now he's done. And he's just kind of enjoying the quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tripping on acid.
Yep.
I'll have a beer.
Yeah, so we'll clean up everything or whatever, and then head out the next day. I think David's going to try to like carefully take down but organize his red string board full of stuff, his notes on people, all that kind of stuff.
Before you do, I take photographs of it.
Sure.
And then you can, of course, dismantle it.
Yeah.
Okay. When you go to sleep, you lost some sand. I think the buzzing kind of comes back here and then.
We lose sand during our sleep?
No, but it's like when you go to a place where the sound is very loud and it kind of rings in your ear. It kind of alternates between right and left ear. So essentially, you don't sleep very well.
So we don't regain any willpower?
You do regain willpower, but...
Okay.
This is what just happened tonight is going to stay very much imprinted in your memory.
Yeah, for sure. How much willpower do we regain?
1d6.
Is it 1d6?
1d6.
Okay, cool. Because I'm down 5.
Ooh, I got a 6.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I got a 1. Damn. Oh,
did not sleep well.
Good thing I'm not the spellcaster of the group.
No, yeah, there you go. You did not sleep very well.
Yeah, I needed it. I used a lot for that ritual.
Yeah, I believe that.
Well, the following morning, it's pretty chilly outside. Again, it's kind of February. It lightly snows. You grabbing your stuff ready to head out?
Yep, I'm packing it all, the gear up, getting everything ready to go.
So how do you go there? Do you rent a vehicle of some kind, take a boat? Do you...
So let's talk about that. I want to know, is there only one dock and one helipad on this island?
From what you understood, yes.
Okay. And do we have our satellite surveillance or our flyover surveillance of a map of the whole island?
Yep.
We can take a look at it. Okay. So, I mean, one thing that Jan wants to do is basically plot all the known arrival and departure locations from the island. I'm assuming there's one dock and one helipad. All right. So I'll mark those. And then also look for other locations on the island that could be other, you know, makeshift landing or departure zones, mostly for boats. Also, for a helicopter can go anywhere. So yeah. Anywhere that's an open space, we can land a helicopter. So my question then is to you, David, if we have a cover, and I think we do, right?
We do.
I think we should arrive in the most common place manner as possible. non-ostentatious. Boat yep. makes the most sense. We'll ride on the boat with other people, perhaps.
Yep.
Low key, right? Blend in.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And then the specialized gear, we'll have the MI6 guy delivered to us. Maybe that the next evening, I'm going to basically give GPS coordinates of a drop-off location, a cove nearby in the water that they can drop it.
That's exactly what I was getting
that
at.
That I can yep. approach at night. Yeah, and I'll get the gear from the water and bring it back up to our place.
You see, there is... What's your military science, by the way?
60.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You kind of look at the map. You see that there is indeed like a small dock where, well, not quite small, actually. A dock where it's the biggest one of the island. Obviously, it's where people go to and from. It's quite, like, it's not a huge island. Again, it's kind of like linked by roads in like the smaller pieces of land. But that's quite the dock for an island in which there's maybe 100 people tops. So it's quite large. You do spot a cove and you're like, that's where your stuff is going to be dropped.
Yeah.
It's the most obvious and non-obvious spot, not too far from where you're going to arrive to grab your stuff. And you got to think, if this is a party and there's lots of people that are going to be there, necessary equipment or everything would not have arrived by that dock.
Yeah.
There's probably another one somewhere.
I don't see it on the satellite photos?
No.
Interesting. Okay. So I'll spend some time later to kind of study and have probable locations for the other dock where I can look at later on to see if I can verify where they might be. Maybe they're concealed, you know, inspired by trees or a cliff or a cave. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I'll make some notes of myself of places to explore as an alternate. Because there may be a secondary location that we can use, or that our quarry may be using as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You see that there's a helipad close to the main mansion. It seems pretty much smack dab in the middle of the largest island of Torso Island in itself. There's a couple of cabins around. There's no area where a helicopter could land. Well, you could try.
And there's fields, right? You said there's like farmland and stuff.
There's fields, but it's not perfectly. It's never perfectly even.
Okay.
It's still kind of Scotland Hills. Not huge, but your helicopter would be. It's doable, but it's risky.
It would also be really obvious.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like our emergency evac.
Sure. Yeah,
I would like the highest hill. This location, we go to the top of the hill, and they evac us from that location. That's backup plan.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you do spot that the actual roads that kind of stretch in between the islands and goes the entire length of the island. There's an elevation to them, and they do span over water.
Perfect.
It's that's a perfect place to ram a car and have it, you know, fall down in seawater.
Yeah, I could also blow some bridges, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A plan is forming.
As for where there's another possible dock, you kind of list a couple of different options, but you don't honestly know. There's like four different options.
Yeah, I can recon those later.
Yep.
So, David, what's our cover? What do you got for us?
Basically, so if I remember correctly, it was essentially some kind of group from Russia.
Yep.
My understanding was, if they are a covert group, like, for instance, like KGB, you know, spy-related something or other, we wouldn't necessarily be going as that. We would be going as probably a private company or, I don't know, some other group. I don't know a lot about Russian espionage, but that kind of thing. But Russians, essentially. Probably, you know, Russians who look like they have some kind of a cover, but, it might be kind of obvious that they're actually KGB, even though like that's our cover. Does that make sense?
I like it's there's a layered cover.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, we're fronting as a Russian pharmaceutical company, and we're acting like we're actually KGB, or you know, there's levels to this.
Exactly.
You know, we're the third thing. Yeah. Let's do it. What's the name of our what's our company called?
I just want to reiterate, I have bright red hair.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What is our... I don't know any Russian words. Some Russian word for salvation. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a good term. We could be like Red Star Corporation, or...
That sounds North Korean.
Yeah,
that does, though, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, some Russian word.
Yep.
We can go...
It's the name of a pharmaceutical company.
Ursa Major.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but that's Latin, but yes, all right. Something like that.
Sure, yeah, let's go with that. Ursa Major.
All right, there we go.
Oh my God!
Very Russian.
We think of, well, David knows Russian, right? So he'll come up with some word. I don't.
Yeah, he'll translate. Yeah.
Large bear into Russian.
Okay, so you tear up your stuff, David. You kind of start getting ready, and you kind of rehearse what you're here for.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
From what I remember, Jan is security, and your opinion pretty much like they're represented. While Crawford is also security.
He's a specialist, like a subject matter expert.
Yeah, I'm the specialist.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a researcher. Can Crawford do any accents? Can he do an Irish accent by any chance?
What do you think, Crawford?
Crawford would give you like the most irritated blank stare possible. Just like,
darn. Okay.
Hey, Crawford, do you speak any languages?
Bad English.
Well, we can. I would say we don't have to worry about him speaking too much. We can just say he doesn't know the language or something. I don't know.
Da. Just say a lot of that.
Right. A lot of da. Yep.
Probably, like, he's used to not talking, so.
Okay, good.
He can pull off the quiet thing pretty well.
Perfect.
So you start getting ready, you grab your stuff, you grab the photographs you have. The kind of maps of the island, possible spots for where there could be another dock, where you could have an emergency evac, and all these little details before leaving. And you kind of look at the blank cork board, where basically just like some pieces of string left, David. And it's somewhat... Memory is a strange function that sometimes things just kind of come and go without real... logic to them, and it brings you back to when one day you were having lunch at Langley, so the central agency of the CIA, and you saw that there was some kind of statue that you hadn't really much paid attention to before. It's kind of like a wave, completely filled with letters, like a huge cipher of some kind. And this thin man is kind of taking notes on a pad, kind of adjust his glasses, just complete stereotypical. The CIA has some of those, right? Mm-hmm. You have some people's person, you, and you have some behind the scenes
eggheads.
People, yeah, exactly, eggheads that are very, very intelligent and smart in what they do, and that's pretty much it.
I think they put analysts on their paychecks.
Yep. And just seems to be kind of very intensely taking notes and then erasing and then scratching something out while looking at this kind of statue.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think David's like walking back through this courtyard. And he sees this guy. And he's probably seen him before, you know. I mean, they installed this statue maybe a couple years ago at this point.
Yep.
And every once in a while he sees this dude outside. As he's on his way back, he's on his way back from some kind of a lunch meeting or something. And he thinks like, you know what? I always see this guy. I'm going to go ask him what he's doing. And so he walks up to him and kind of looks at him and looks at this large sculpture. It's kind of like a metal, like you were saying, a wave. It's made of copper. And he says, So, what are you doing exactly? I always see you out here.
Kind of replies, kind of coughs, doesn't even look at you. And just replies, I'm cracking it.
Huh. And David puts his hands on his hips and looks at it. And just kind of musing about like this thing, this big ugly piece of corporate art that the CIA installed a couple years ago. And he's just like, well, I mean, cracking what exactly? Some kind of a code? Is it a mystery?
Yep, that's pretty much right. There's something behind it. I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to be the first.
Oh, man. I think you might be a little late to the ball game on that one.
What?
I heard the NSA was already cracked it.
If you see, kind of crumples his paper, throws it to the side. It doesn't matter. If I catch up, I'll get it all. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, keep working on it. What do you get? You like win a prize? Is there a bonus or something if you crack it?
Don't know.
Oh.
Just satisfaction of having cracked it.
Huh.
That's what I do. I solve things.
Okay, all right. Well, that's an important job. How far are you in it? You figure any of it out yet?
I got the first one.
Oh, okay. And he looks at it again. He's like, okay, so is there two halves, or is it like, I see this kind of like broken into four.
No, he kind of points at four, like quadrants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Points at the different quadrants.
Yep.
And one one half of it basically just looks like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, you know, yep. Like all the way across. It just repeats in this kind of diagonal. And every once in a while, like punctuating random parts of this alphabet, it's just the word Kryptos, Kryptos, Kryptos over and over again, breaking it up into these different patterns and designs. And David looks at it and he goes, huh, Kryptos. What, any idea what that means?
Yep, it's Greek. Means hidden.
Hmm.
So, I'm trying to find out that what's hidden.
Okay, alright. That makes sense. Well, I guess I'll leave you to it. Best of luck. Hey, let me know if you crack it.
Oh, you'll hear all about it.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it'll probably be on the news or something, huh?
That's the hope, yes.
Alright. Well, yeah. Take it easy. Good talking to you.
You should learn it. Cryptography.
And I think David's like walking away at this point, and he stops and turns back to him. Why?
You a company man?
Yeah. Same as you.
Well, you never know when you're gonna meet a puzzle box.
Huh. And then David is like pensive and looks back at this big sculpture thing. And back at this guy, and he's just thinking. He's like, yeah, maybe I'll take your advice.
Mm. And continue scratching.
Yeah, and David walks away, back to his work.
And I'll, as you kind of packing back to the work, this is very complex thing, obviously, incredibly complex, man-made. What if there's something incredibly complex, not man-made?
Mm-hmm.
What about one of those things you met? What type of complex scheme or enigma can they create?
Right, yeah.
Hard to know.
And over that time, I think David did practice and learn more about cryptography and cryptology. And so I actually have a 40 in SIGINT. You know, it might come in handy in some different occasions. But yeah, he's thinking about that and musing about this creature. You know, I think that's how he thinks about it, as some kind of an animal almost, but it wasn't. It was maybe a rock or a plant, or did it even exist? Was he hallucinating? You know, and I don't think he thinks he was hallucinating. I think he believes that they really did experience that. And he just kind of is thinking about that, you know, about how far ahead could they be, or not even ahead. But what if their trajectory is just different?
Mm. Completely different evolution path, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So right. So it's totally other to what you are and what it is.
And if he really felt like when it asked, you know, that problem solution in between that whole thing, and if he really feels like this thing doesn't understand how we do the things that we do that are so human, the creativity, the spontaneity, all that kind of stuff. I think if he gathered that from that conversation, a smirk comes across his face and he feels like, in a way, that means we've got one up on them. Even if we don't even understand it, you know, I think he feels like that's something special. That's something that we have.
Mm.
That's why that Kryptos statue exists, even though it's made of logic. It wasn't made because of logic.
Okay. So all of you pack your stuff. There was talk to obtain a luxury car, or like, no, sorry, not a luxury car, like a really solid 4x4, like a big Jeep or something.
Is it like a Land Rover's?
A Land Rover, there we go.
Back in the 90s, I think.
Did we move away from luxury car? Because that was the last thing I remember.
I think I like something a little more sturdy. Even though the luxury car would be fun,
okay.
I want something that I can bump with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Something we don't have to rent.
It won't matter.
Just buy it outright.
So that is very much something. You can organize it the way you want. In Glasgow, I mean, you can buy a car there.
Yep.
I don't know what. I don't know who orders the buy or anything, but like if you have a solid criminology, it just happens.
Yeah, I've got 70.
Yeah.
And plus, I deal with all the money stuff anyway. So yeah, Corbin will deal with it. Get a hold of a Land Rover.
Exactly. You've got all the money and everything. You've got the right currency. You buy a Land Rover.
Fake IDs.
Fake ideas. Yeah. Like it's solid.
Yeah.
And it takes maybe like an hour or two. It's not complicated at all. You have
it. What happens when you got cash?
Yep. Just pay outright. You make a car seller's day, that's for sure.
Yep.
I'll load this thing up with all the non-suspicious items that we got to take with us.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm still bringing a concealed weapon, which is what I would bring as a security guy, probably in a backup piece as well.
Yep.
So all the heavier things are being smuggled in.
Yes.
You know, just in case we don't want them to search our gear, but just in case they do, they're not going to find anything too ostentatious.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I think I would leave, if we're still like going to have this cabin on rent for a minute, I think after packing up the board, David would leave it in the cabin hidden somewhere. The information, the files, the photographs, the scans, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Gotcha.
He doesn't want to bring that with.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Okay. So do you all board? There's like there's a boat that leads you there, maybe like one every 2 hours. That again, you can go with your car on it, and it drops you off on Torso Island.
Yeah, the ferry, right?
It's a ferry. Yep.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll take the ferry with our vehicle. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Nice.
You take the ferry, and you see that there's, you know, you wait for it maybe like 20 minutes, pay your tickets, and you see that there's, you spot them right away, Jan. There's four guys here that are very like casually nondescript. They are obviously armed, and they seem to be the security of this little ferry. You just gotta look around, ensure that everything is okay, look at your tickets, and you're on your way. You are not the only ones on the boat. There's another, there's a black SUV that's on there, windows tinted. It's just parked right after you.
Hmm. I'm assuming it's a license plate. It's a UK license plate?
It is.
Okay.
So is yours, so you're good to go.
Yeah, we got about, yeah. I just want to make sure they didn't bring their own vehicle from stateside.
From America? Yeah.
Yeah. You see sometimes they kind of drop off, they smoke a cigarette. You see that they're, most of the, like, you see two guys kind of go outside in like, black suits.
Mm-hmm.
With these black sunglasses, little earpieces, just smoke and just toss them in the sea.
And I watch these guys basically through the side view and the rear view mirror, because
mm-hmm.
they're behind me anyway. That's how I observe them.
Yep.
By the way, at this point, now that we're undercover, David is always going to be speaking with at least a vaguely Russian accent, even if he's speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
Just, he's, you know, getting into character at this point.
Okay. Eventually, after 45 minutes or to an hour, you see Torso Island appear. It's not huge. It the sea is really kind of surrounding all of it, so it's quite hostile in a way. It is lightly snowing. It's slightly cold, very windy, and the line between the sea and the horizon and the gray clouds, it all kind of meshes together. And you see on the middle of this island, you can see it very well. It's surrounded by kind of dark trees, but you see this mansion. Mansion isn't exactly the right word. It looks like a castle. Like a 19th century castle with a large stretching tower, and you approach it, and you see Crawford is just kind of looking underneath your vehicle and, like, in little crevices and around the ferry. Just seems to be kind of looking for something.
Crawford is.
Yep.
Okay. David would walk up to him and, again, with a vaguely Russian accent, he would be like, "What are you doing?"
"Nothing."
"Okay."
And you see a rat skitter in between his legs as he's talking to you.
Okay.
"You have a human of 100?
Yep.
When the rat skitters away, you would definitely see some irritation flash through my eyes.
Huh. Okay. What is happening here?
And then you kind of a slight thump on the boat kind of like shakes you just a little bit as you've arrived.
Okay.
Seems like the boat is currently docking.
Kind of wave to these two to get back in the vehicle.
Yeah, we'll hop back in.
Yeah, I basically, you know, start the engine, idle, wait till my turn to drive up and off the ferry and onto the dock.
Okay. You arrive there. Again, 4 nondescript guys walking around, obviously armed. They just kind of stop you, signal for you to lower your window.
Right. Bring it in, stop, and, you know. So David's in the passenger seat, which, of course, is on my left, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
They stop you, they kind of look around. You're here for?
I mean, shit.
That's
great. I don't know if this is like a public thing or not. So he would just say, you know, again in that accent, like, same reason everybody else is here.
Just kind of nods. Welcome to Torso Island, gentlemen.